This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 1 Overall Process Support and Outreach Issue held on the 22nd of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-leader, Sarah Bakke. Please begin.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us today. Let's see, there are the slides. This is our agenda for today. We, of course, will be continuing our review of the CC2 responses received. In particular, we're going to be covering systems and variable fees today. But before we get started, if you have a change or an update to your SOI that you would like to announce, please let it be known now. Seeing no hands or typing in the chat, I assume everyone is up to date. Also, if anyone has any other business that they would like to add to this agenda, please let that be known as well. And, of course, if something comes to mind as the meeting is going along, you can always put it in the chat and we can add that to the end of the meeting as necessary. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started on our first topic, which is going to be systems. So next slide, please. Okay, so this slide here is basically an overview of the sort of the discussions that we've had to date prior to getting comments from the CC2. And these are sort of the recommendations that we had come to as a working group. And so as you can see here, definitely security and stability improvement was very important. Having a more robust user testing incorporated, systems needed to be better integrated, adequate time for system development. These were all very important and brought up during our calls, our previous calls. Also the ability to use non-ASCII text. But the system should be capable of sending automated invoices. We also asked the question of how can systems be used to support the new GTLD programs such as TAS, centralized zone data services, portal, etc. How can we make this more robust, user-friendly, better integrated? And the answers that we came back with was being able to have multiple users or logins into one system, as well as having different levels of access. So that is where we were when we put out our question to the community for some additional input on what they thought would be helpful for the systems. So next slide, please. So the first question we asked was, the working group considers the subject to be mainly implementation focused, but nonetheless has identified areas for improvement. For instance, security and stability should be improved, more robust user testing, potential applications or applicants should be incorporated, systems should be better integrated, adequate time for system development should be afforded. Do you have suggestions on additional areas for improvement? So this is an overview of the comments that we received from Nominet. They stated that they strongly support the recommendation for increasing security of the system They also suggest it should be possible to upload application documents and associated information rather than having to cut and paste that into a form. From Jim Pendergast, we have the failures of the last application system were well known, and the new system should undergo a sustained period of testing before being put into use. And the brand group noted, agree it is implementation focused and there should be continual improvement program in place based on the reviews and feedback from applicants. So far, this is falling in line with some of the ideas and concepts that we had discussed during our previous meetings. So next slide. And I will pause here just for a moment to see if anyone has any comments before I continue. Okay. So as we can see here, Afilias did have some additional feedback. They noted that in addition to the improvements noted within the question, the system could benefit from the following improvements: tracking abilities, stronger communications, grouping of applications, standard return email addresses, and secondary points of contact. And then finally, related specifically to this question that we put forward, we have a feedback from the registry who noted consideration should be given to policy or implementation regulations requiring transparency to the user within the security confines of permitted access the data that has been entered with regard a user's application and or registry. ICANN could consider live support for use during applications to address problems and provide cures, and also would be particularly helpful to make available a test environment as soon as feasible prior to the opening of the system for live use. So I will pause here for a moment to see if there are any comments. Seeing none, I'll go to the next slide. And this was a comment that we received from ALAC, not necessarily providing a means for updates to the system per se, but they provided they wanted to provide support of the ESSAC's recommendation that the board request a review of the extended process similarity review panel. So as noted in their comments, with particular attention to the responses in 3.4.2 string similarity, where they recommended that the board should request a review of the extended process similarity review panel to determine why the proposed guidelines do not respect the principle of conservatism, inclusion, and stability. There is some contention between the ESSAC view and that of the CNSO over the issue, which has been discussed by the ABAC and believe that this needs to be resolved. So not specific to the question, but a comment that we wanted to note as well. Next slide, please. And then the second question we had regarding systems was the working group also noted that ICANN should expand its system capabilities to include the ability to send invoices to organizations who require documentation in order to process payments for any fees related to their application. Do you agree that this would be beneficial? And as you can see from the responses here from Nominet and Jim and Valadeus, it was a resounding yes. That would be very much welcomed regarding business practices. So as you can see, the feedback we received largely was in line with discussions that we had had previously, which is helpful to see that we're all on the same page. There were some additional ideas that were put forward and have been noted, and I think it's all very good feedback. And so I will pause here and see if anyone has anything they would like to add to this before we move forward. Okay, seeing no hands and nothing in the chat, we can go to the next slide, which brings us to variable fees. And Krista, I will hand this over to you.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista for the record. So a couple different sections for variable fees. The first one is what we refer to as 1.5.1, in which detail the application fee vary depending on the type of the application. For instance, open versus closed registries, multiple identical applications, or other factors. The 2012 round had one fee fits all, and there seems to be support within the working group for continuing that approach, provided that the variance between the different types of applications is not significantly different. Do you agree? And if not, how much of a variance would be required in order to change or support for a one fee for any type of application approach? So we have John Poole, Shira, Nominet, BC, Achilles, and the registry stakeholder group supporting a single fee. And we have Shira that says, kind of overview of it all, the application review should be the same regardless of the application type. Variation in costing should occur at a performance level, which is a little bit unique from the other responses, and be modeled specifically based on domains under management. So that one's a little bit different. Go to the next slide. Thanks. We have the registry stakeholder group saying should consider the applicant support program. We have the ALAC saying we should ensure that applicants will not work to game the system, and it provides the achieves the best advantage. So, and that's by not having different fees. Next slide. Thanks. We then have BRG, Nominet, Valadeus, pointing out that there may be circumstances in which variable fees are appropriate to consider. And first one is BRG, saying that unless there is significant variance of cost to process different types of applicants. And they also go further, giving us a number, saying a variance of up to 10% between costs of different types of applicants is tolerable, but anything higher than that should trigger further discussion to explore tiered fees tied to the applicant type. We have Nominet that says, in the event that closed.brand new GTLDs have a streamlined application row and simpler or lower ongoing compliance requirements and obligations, it may be fair that their fee is set at a lower value based on reasonable estimates of the actual cost to ICANN. Next slide, please.
Krista, it's Alan. On ALAC, you omitted the last part of our comment. We said it was a reasonable standard, but there may well be reasons for lower fees for community applications or for other, some examples such as community applications and disadvantaged areas. So we did hedge our bets.
Awesome. I was actually going to come back to that at the end, but all good. Thank you. Going ahead with Valadeus, they support application fee to break even, and do not view the approach as being in conflict with the application fee, reflecting any material variance in the cost of different types of applicants. And then they request further analysis. And then they also go further on to saying whether or not all the different, say a single registrant has the same risk as other types of applications. And one last comment on the next slide, please, and we finish off this section. So we have two other comments. So we have one from the GAC, supported by the Nairobi communique, and that remains relevant. And you'll see in section 3, it says, instead of the currently proposed single fee requirement, a cost-based structure of fees appropriate to each category of TLD would A, prevent cross-subsidization, and B, reflect the project scale, logistical requirements, and financial position of local community in developing countries. And we have Demi's that says the fee should depend on the expected workload to process that application. And further goes on saying a DOT brand application would amount to a small fraction of work required to validate a comparable generic application. So that's kind of the overview on the responses on, I guess, section 1.5.1. And they kind of do vary. We didn't get a lot of, say, numbers. The best number we have is, or the only number we have, is a variance of up to 10%, which would justify perhaps looking into whether or not different applications should have different costs. So I'll stop here and see if anyone has any comments. I'm sorry, I just read the comment that you had your hand up, Alan. My apologies. Okay. Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. So Donna Austin from Newstar. Just picking up on that ALAC suggestion that maybe community applications should have a different fee, and I think the GAC is also respecting that as well. So it seems to me there's two elements here. So there seems to be some of the comments suggest that there should be some kind of, I can't think of the word, but not a reduction in fee, but a reduced fee because of their inability to, that necessarily don't have the resources that other applicants will have. And then for the brands in particular, there seems to be an assumption that evaluating some applications will be less resource intensive than others. So it might be a good idea to have a conversation around those two elements. So with those that we think require some additional support because they don't necessarily, they may not have the resources to pull an application together, or on the other hand, that there'd be a fee reduction because the workload on ICANN isn't felt to be the same as perhaps another type of application. So I would, and this is just for example, but I would think that a community application, if it goes down the same path as last time, it will have, its own policies and everything attached to that that will require some kind of examination. So I think if we're going to have a discussion around reducing the fee for a community applicant versus a brand applicant, then I think we need to understand why we're doing that. And it seems to me it's two different reasons. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks, Donna. I agree with your comments, and I think as some people have reflected in their comments that perhaps understanding the cost associated with each one of those pathways, which was done in the first round, should be somehow redone. And I'm not sure if we all agree with needing that information or whether or not it changes our policies, but it does provide some insight And if we go back to the original fee, we had, I think 73,000 was made up of the variable fees. And they only had a fee in there for, it says community priority, for an additional $200. Whereas approval and delegation, I think, was around 15,000. So they're very different things, and they could actually make up the different activity-based costing, say, in the different pathways or the elements in each one of those processes. Donna, is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand, okay. Any other comments on this section, or should I jump to the next section? Okay, not seeing any comments. I'll move to the next section. So 1.5.2, the question says, the working group believes costing information on the different types of applications should be attained and evaluated once the different types of applications are defined. What are the implications of having different costs by type of application, and how could they impact future budgeting efforts? How could they impact competition and choice? So we have several. We have NAMIT, affiliates, the Registry Stakeholder Group, and ALAC saying they do not generally support different costs for different types of applicants. And a couple excerpts. Registry Stakeholder Group says, we do not agree that this is a fair characterization of the working group's belief. Nominate says, we need a higher level of scrutiny and fail-safe mechanisms such as escrow and embargo. And they're kind of relating more to the brand scenario there. So they want increased scrutiny, which shouldn't vary between the different ones or different application types. We have the ALAC saying they don't believe in it, except perhaps for community applications for which evaluation criteria already exist and may be worthy of revisiting. Next slide, please. We have Demi's identified possible benefits of cost differentiation, while Sierra identified possible negative impacts. Demi says, provide much-needed clarity that plagued the previous round and provide additional beneficial effects that would be gained, namely reduced evaluation complexity, cost, and time. And we have Sierra saying that it will promote gaming, and we need to implement a compliance adherence process that would ensure a registry maintained the operating model of their original application. And to do this would require ongoing additional costs that could not possibly be recovered as part of an application fee. And then, thank you. The next one, we have the BRG suggesting that additional research should be conducted, particularly with respect to costing for dot brands. And the analysis of cost is needed before developing any proposals for fee differentiation. They go on to say fee differentiation would be a fair approach when substantial variations between types is identified, and that such changes should then incur fees to cover the difference and additional administration fees to cover ICANN costs. So that's all the responses for 1.5.2. Does anyone have any comments? Okay, not seeing any hands. I'm just going to go into 1.5.3. And the question is, should the application fee be variable based on the volume of applications received from a single applicant? And if so, how should the fee be adjusted, and what are the potential impacts in doing so? So those opposed to the variable fees based on volume include Sierra, Nominet, BC, BRG, John Poole, Affiliates, Registry Stakeholder Group, and the ALAC. We have Sierra saying we would encourage the use of single entities to front, or it would, sorry, encourage the use of single entities to front for the individual applicants. We have Nominant saying that they do not favor discounts, as each applied for string will need to undergo the same initial evaluation procedures, and they could also take advantage of accreditation or RSP program, which would also reduce some of that workload. We then have the BC saying it would disadvantage smaller businesses. We have the BRG saying other risks that there are other risks that this may introduce on an aggregate basis, particularly on the financial assessment that ICANN will need to assess. We had the registry stakeholder group saying it would hinder competition, and we have the ALAC saying it should be a level playing field for all, and that no special consideration for applicants should be provided. And then we have one last comment from Yannick saying that the volume discount of 10 to 20% should be offered to applicants with multiple applications, which is easier to evaluate on questions 23 to 44. And the financial questions on 45 to 50 should be evaluated on the basis that all applications pass. This can be complicated, so no discount offered here. And so that's all the feedback that we have on section 1.5.3. Anyone have any comments? Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. I find it interesting, and maybe this is just idle musing, that nobody discussed variable fees going in the other direction, increasing fees for those applying for multiples over a certain number in order to encourage more competition. I'm not saying that we should consider that, but from a public policy standpoint, there are some arguments that could be made for it, but just interesting, everyone was, I think, looking only at discounting, volume discounts, and not at a variable fee going in the other direction. Thanks.
Thanks, Craig. Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin from Newstar. So, Greg, that's a really interesting musing. I'm not sure that I agree with it, but the concept is interesting in that basically what we've been talking about with the fees is bringing them down rather than a discussion about what would potentially draw up the fees. So it's potentially an interesting conversation that we should have at some point, because just for the fullness of the discussion, it's interesting that we've been having this conversation for a while, but that's the first time I've heard that raised. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I agree with that. We've spent a lot of time talking about the mechanics of the application process, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about essentially public policy and what we were trying to achieve with the new GTLD process to begin with, that is increasing competition and a variety of other things like that, and to what extent the application fees may, if not govern that, but and certainly influence, I think is a discussion this group has to have. Thank you.
It's crystal for the record. I think it ties back into the costing methods, and initially way back when it actually said that the pathway in each element should be used in the evaluation and should build up the cost. So tying it back of, and I think it also had a percentage based on the number of applications received in those calculations. So if they expected, let's say, for instance, community applications have a higher cost, and the overall breakdown of the different types of applications changes, then those costs could potentially change as well. So I'm not sure if that helps or not, or spurs on more conversations. But moving forward, I guess, are we open to different levels of application fees, and then what would be the trigger for us to be open to that if we are open to it? And are we okay with the suggested, I guess, one feedback of something greater than 10%? Donna says, for the record, I don't believe there would be any variation in the application fee. It should be the same across the different types of applications. And to Alexander's point, we can look at reasons for providing financial support. Yeah, so I haven't followed the chat long far enough back. There's something regarding offering financial support, and that I see as more of a separate from the variable cost. Right, because I was under that probably could be controlled for after everyone knows that all these came from are all donuts from the same donut shop. Greg,
please go ahead.
Go ahead, Greg. I can't hear you if you're speaking.
All I was saying is that when you use the iPad version of Adobe Connect, you can't see everything you're typing, right? So that came out garbled. But what I was saying is that everyone knows that, you know, all of the, regardless of the flavors, all of those came from the same donut shop. And it's, you know, easy enough to find out or ask for that kind of proof of ownership. There is a lot of ownership information asked for anyway.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Any other comments? So we have two schools of thought here. One is one application fee, no changes. And the other is to evaluate if there are different application fee amounts based on the different aspects that go into evaluating a application. Are we all okay saying that there shouldn't be a policy change and that they should remain fixed at $185,000 or whatever that fee will end up to be? Or are we open to saying we need to evaluate we need an analysis on the different costs that go into the fee amount for each different type of application? And I see there's lots of chat going on regarding different donuts and different legal entities that go into it. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. As I said, I think we, and I suspect we, I mean the larger working group, not just the subgroup, really need to look at the issue of public policy and the impact of whether the fees are uniform or vary based on what we're trying to achieve with the program. So I think that discussion has to be had before we can make a definitive recommendation. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I've been just listening, and this comment in personal capacity. You know, what I was thinking about is that it's really that each application should have the same set base fee, but any additional items or additional reviews or additional types of things that the application has to go through may incur additional costs. And that's sort of what the guidebook did this last time, in a sense of if you proposed additional services, there could be an additional technical evaluation fee. I can't remember if community evaluation, I don't know why I can't remember, had an additional fee if you elected to go through it. But what we could do is set the base fee the same for everyone and then look at the different reviews and different things that applications have to go through, and you could always add on for those items that not every application needs. I hope that makes sense. And again, I'm trying to remember, maybe someone can clarify, whether someone wanted community priority evaluation, I think they had to pay an additional charge. So I think it's really everyone pays the same base fee, but just it says CPE, okay, was an additional fee paid in the event the applicant met the criteria. So, sorry, Steve, just to add on that, what does that mean, in the event the applicant met the criteria? You only paid if you met CPE? Oh, paid back. Okay, sorry. I'm reading. I'm not sure that should necessarily be the case, but if we want to offer a cost-based model, there may be differing levels for applications based on the type of application only because of the additional things sought by that applicant. So I hope that makes sense. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Just to comment on what you were going after, and you are, I believe you are right, because in the first round, the costs were built up for each pathway that was used in that application. It's the most complex, I think, pathway had a fee of, I think, an estimated $210,000, whereas most were $178,000. That's how they came up with $185,000. But obviously, there's a proportion control in there that they expected based on the 500 applications. So in case that helps. But Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin from Newstar. So, Jeff, just to your point, I think with the geographic names, even though there was a distinct category for geographic names, I think all applications actually went through some kind of geo names criteria process just to make sure that they had designated appropriately and others hadn't been picked up in that. So, I guess I'm just trying to draw a distinction here that even if you designate it as a geographic name, all of the applications, I think, went through that first process, and then any that were considered geographic names still had that secondary process to go to make sure that the appropriate letters of support were there. So, just trying to get over what the base fee would be and any additional fee for a different category of application. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff. I guess what I would say to that is anything that any kind of review that every application is required to go through should be included in that base fee. I would think that if we do attach certain privileges or rights based on a type of application and there is some sort of evaluation based to receive those privileges, then perhaps that's an added fee on top of the base fee, so that the result is that not all applications pay the same fee. But so if you were seeking, so let's say, and I'm making this up, I'm not saying this is actually going to be the case, but let's say we decided to give preference to geographic names, applications, then perhaps for that geographic evaluation for the special privilege, you pay an additional amount to be evaluated for that evaluation. Or same thing for community, same thing. So any kind of group of applications for which there's a special privilege that attaches to it, there may be an additional fee for that evaluation to make sure you meet that category or whatever we end up calling it, I guess is more my point. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Donna, is that an old hand or new hand?
No, new hand, Krista.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Jeff, just in relation to that, I think this goes back to the point that we get into that territory of, is a community application and a geo application, are they potential categories for financial assistance? And I think in some circumstances they probably are. So then we have a convoluted process in some respects because we're saying that potentially we're saying that communities and geos might fall into the category of financial assistance, but then on the other hand we're saying that there's an added level of processing that's required that, will necessitate an additional fee. So I think that's why it's important we make sure that, and I think it's good that we're having this discussion now, that we understand some of the consequences of going down the path that we're going at the moment. Thanks.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. No, I think that's a great point, Donna, and I'm trying to think of just the ramifications of, it doesn't necessarily conflict that you say that there's an added charge if you want these special privileges as a community TLD, but still also have them be a category for financial assistance. I think they could go hand in hand. But I'm also trying to think of, registries that may not necessarily need the types of evaluations that others do need just simply because they're not operating like everyday registries. So, we'd have to figure out what is included in that base fee and what would be the added ones. But, in theory, you could say that, look, why should a registry that's really going to be a closed registry only to that brand, let's say, pay for evaluations that look at things like business models and others when the business model is not the typical registrations by third parties, that it needs to survive by registration fees, but is rather a model that is just looked at as a cost to the corporation or the brand or the organization. So we'd have to look at what exactly is covered in that base and that all applications have to go through regardless of the type of application it is versus those kind of added features that would require additional evaluations.
Thanks, Jeff. What if we flip it around? So let's say you're talking about special privileges. What happens if we have a brand and we say the application is a little bit more expensive and therefore they get to skip, say, fund evaluation because there's no need for it, as you mentioned, in evaluating a registration model. So they're paying a little bit more to save time, on their side. Oh, Donna, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. I just wanted to make the point that I think as a general principle, we should be aiming for an application that's pretty simple for the applicants and also reasonably easy for ICANN to administer. I don't know if others agree with me on that, but, in the conversations we've had about the application fee, we're not... I think we've pretty much agreed that it shouldn't be as high as last time, so it shouldn't be $185,000. We do support the idea of cost recovery. Rubens has suggested that it could come down to $90,000. Now, when we think of that in terms of an application fee, is that really all that unreasonable, that we need to complicate the process further to take into account these additional considerations? So I think, you know, I'm really concerned that what we're doing here is just making it so complicated that the administration for ICANN is going to lead to delays. Because they will have to make decisions about whether, you know, an application is actually a community or whether it's a geo or whether it's a brand and what process that should go through and how that, you know, how do they manage that if there's some kind of, you know, lottery system for processing applications. So I think we need to be careful and keep that in the back of our minds as well, is what are we really trying to do here? You know, is providing a $10,000 buffer for an applicant really going to lead to a better program or application process? And I'm not so sure it would. So I'd like to keep that kind of idea in the backs of our heads too. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks, Donna. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Again, this is personal capacity, not behalf of the group or anything. Don, I think you're right. If the application fee does, in fact, drop substantially, then it doesn't become an issue. But I'm not sure it's necessarily settled that it would drop or how much it would drop or, you know, so I agree simple is usually better, but not if simple means that, you know, the simple applications are subsidizing the much more complex ones. So in general, it's kind of a conditional, I agree, but if fees end up being, just because it's much simpler to say, oh, let's just go with the same 185 because that's what we had last time, then I would not agree. But if it does drop because we actually do a true cost recovery model with good projections based on actual facts and evidence, then I would agree. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Just for, I guess, one other question is, I don't know how we get the 90,000, and I would hate to bank on that, and I realize it's just a number that's thrown out. But I could see a brand versus a community application and all the different processes and reviews and everything else that they go through would be quite different. And if we look at the variable fees, which are, say, $73,000, which is a pretty good chunk of the $185,000, that there is kind of a base in there already. So, and no matter what, I think ICANN will have to go through the costing process in order to determine what the break-even amount would be in the future. So figure out what the different costing methods are for each, say, application should just be kind of a plug in each component to each one to see how it all adds up. So I guess I'm not sure that helps, or I'm just going back in circles of, are we okay with the 10% or not, or we're just going to say flat fee no matter what. So I'm just trying to read some of the comments here. You need to have a test on whether they're a real brand. Anyone can register a trademark and claim they are a brand, and all important generic terms are branded in many places. I agree with that, except a brand usually isn't reselling, so it would be a lot easier to see what they're doing on the registration and if they're earning revenue from that. And, you know, I guess it kind of also comes back to, if people are going to game their application, then do we want something in the policies for that type of gaming? Or is there just another, say, component fee that they would have to pay to change their fee, which might exceed the original cost to just, say, apply for the correct type of application? So I'll give it a couple more minutes for comments, or if anyone else would like to speak rather than type. That'd be great. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chapman, for the record. Just with regard to the fees, I'm not sure that we should zero in on a cost recovery model. While I am not one who advocates turning ICANN into a fatted calf, the direct costs may not be the only costs or even that should be set aside. And again, it kind of comes down to a public policy question too about how ICANN could or should be funded and, to what extent it should receive more general funding from running this program, if at all, or if there should be a another set of buckets like the auction proceeds buckets that can be allocated by the community. I'm not doing. Jeff asked, "What are the indirect costs that you think should be covered?" I'm not going to do a financial analysis of ICANN's budget. My brain would probably explode. It all depends on how you allocate costs and which costs you call direct and which costs you call indirect. Obviously, ICANN has grown in a huge way around new GTLDs. So a question of which of those costs do you think are direct or indirect costs of the program, or is it just cost of the application process itself? That's a rabbit hole, and I don't want to get bitten by any rabbits. But generally need to think, the cost recovery is one model, but not the only model, and cost plus is probably equally sensible. Depending upon what we all want to fund, obviously if you're on the side of the registry, you'd like to pay as little as possible. On the other hand, there may be things that ICANN could or should be doing if it were better funded, just so we know what we're dealing with. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. So a few comments that Jeff added to, I guess, your comments saying that ongoing fees are covered through ICANN yearly fees. And Alan says, also included costs of developing the program. And Alex is referring to my brand comment. I can register a trademark orange. And then lease domains, like with centralmix.de, third-level registrations, avoiding all the hassle with registrant rights. People buy third-level domains from CentralMix at even higher prices than .com. The model works well, but registrant leases and has zero rights. Just as, yes, we have previously, doesn't mean we should going forward. So, I think we're almost to the top of the hour. Sarah, do you have anything you would like to add, or we're just going to wrap it up? Oh, sorry, Ashley, I didn't see your hand.
Thank you. This is Ashley Roberts. It was just an AOB item from me, if we finish with the previous topic.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. Can I make a suggestion, I guess, to the co-chairs and to the group as a whole? Can we consider, when we have a bit of momentum on certain topics, so, for example, we've had quite a good conversation on application fees over the past few weeks, both on the calls and on the list, could we consider maybe rolling that discussion over onto the next call, just try and keep a bit of the momentum up? I think it might help us to kind of reach a point of closure on some of these topics a bit quicker. And it stops lose momentum if we kind of discuss a topic on a particular call and then revisit it maybe 3 or 4 weeks later. Something for consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashley. That's a great, great insight. And yeah, I'm happy to kind of keep that going and maybe do a refresh from the last call so that ball is continually moving forward. And there definitely is between the different costing, obviously. Okay, so like to, Sarah, do you have any comments?
No comments from me.
Okay. So I'd like to thank everyone for your time and thoughts and for the discussion. Let's try to kind of incorporate it all and tie it all in, as Ashley suggested, for the next call. And the next call is scheduled for Tuesday, September 5th at 2000 UTC. Thanks, all.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.